T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Wednesday edition of Sports Talk, leading you up into LSU baseball tonight at the box, taking on Nichols at 6:30. Mark Menard at Master Control. We'll hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network at 6 p.m., along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, and Bobby's rocking the Privateers basketball gear, and they got a big game tonight, obviously. But, Bobby, I need you to get me some of that Privateers gear. I've asked Bo several times for it, and he hasn't come through. So I need you to come through so I can support the UNO Privateers, man.
Yeah, and, well, what is your size, small?
Or okay, you're a funny guy.
No, I don't know. I'm going to get your size, right?
I'm an XL.
Okay, XL.
I'm an XL.
You used to be an L, but then
I used to be an L. Thanks for reminding me of that.
When you were really working out and you were yoked.
Anyway, we've got coming up on the program, we got Vegas Runner, Pro Better, and Handicapper at thebigmoves.com. He's going to lay down the best bets for the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Nick Easton, newest Saints offensive lineman, center guard, will join us at 5:45. Making It Look Easy on Twitter is where you can follow Nick Easton. And by the way, there's a report that his contract was disapproved. Well, look, it's something very, very easy to fix. It's a procedural deal. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to really care about.
Like he didn't pass his physical?
No, that's not it. No, it's a language deal, a procedural deal. It'll work out. It'll be fine. Nothing to worry about. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, LSU head football coach Ed Ogeron got a 2-year extension. Pretty good pay raise. Good move or bad move? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Bobby, I know a lot of LSU fans, some LSU fans are going to say, well, he hasn't beaten Alabama. Why is he getting a pay raise? Well, I think we would all agree that he overachieved. That team overachieved last year and getting 10 wins with a bowl victory. A lot of people had him projected at 7, and I was one of them. That was a little critical of that of the team and Coach Ed Ogeron. But I would say, given it's just a 2-year extension, what he's done, it puts him in the middle of the pack amongst SEC coaches. I'm okay with it. It's not like it's this huge buyout that you have with Les Miles.
Yeah, I kind of, Christian, what they did and what they accomplished, that's what I expected. I didn't think, you know, the program was going to fall on his face. Now, with that being said, I think the bottom, now before you even play a bowl game, is 10 wins. I think the starting point is to have a 10-win regular season.
Sure.
Now, when you talk about in the SEC, I mean, look at the coach. It's like the NFL. So you might say, well, why would you give an extension? Well, you give an extension because it's all about recruiting. And you have to have the stability there, and that's why you add the 2 years. So when you're going out recruiting, that, you could have some players or some parents say, well, Coach O, we don't even know if he's even going to be there. Like, is LSU committed to you? So that's why you look at that 2-year extension. It's all dealing with recruiting. You look at his salary, middle of the pack, basically, in the SEC. So, I mean, it's not nothing that you can poo-poo. I mean, come on, when you getting paid $4 million.
It's good money, but at the same time, Nick Saban's making
$8
million.
Well, it's the market. I mean, and the bottom line is, oh, well, when are you going to beat Nick Saban? Well, I don't know who's beating Nick Saban. Clemson? Isn't Clemson the ACC? So, I mean, obviously that's always the big hurdle that you're trying to, get over and come away with a win. But, hey, you got to just keep chopping wood and put hay in the barn and just
you
try to get
it,
to that point where you're winning in the trenches. And right now, I don't know, just watching the LSU game last year and just looking what like LSU versus Alabama, LSU versus Clemson. I think Alabama got humbled against Clemson. You know why? They had a young quarterback playing with unbelievable confidence. But you know why he was playing also with confidence? Clemson was winning in the trenches. Look, Alabama got humbled in the trenches, and that doesn't happen too often. So I think that's where you really need to get. But also you have to look at, and they made a mistake with Les Miles, the buyout. So that's when you look at a contract and you want the stability in the program because recruiting, that you have to look at the details of the buyout. And it's nothing like where he's not coaching anymore and we still paid him years after.
The New Orleans Pelicans back in action tonight, taking on the Orlando Magic on the road. Tip-off at 6 p.m. And Anthony Davis taking a personal day. He's not playing for personal reasons. Whatever that means, I don't know. But I know here at WWL, we get one personal day a year. So I guess AD, we get two personal days a year. That's new. Nonetheless, I guess AD is burning one of his two personal days.
Well, why don't they have a personal day in middle, late June or something? Have a personal day now?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like,
I need a personal day.
When you're getting, yeah, when you're getting paid, I don't know, that much money, like personal day, I mean.
Nine games left. Maybe it can't happen fast enough, right? So Pelicans got 9 games left.
So maybe he had that dentist appointment that he had to get to or something. They wouldn't, reschedule.
Obviously. He had to run an errand. Had to go pay a light bill.
Right. Yeah.
Do something personal.
Yeah, my personal day. I need to get away from things. And I don't know. When I heard that personal day, I'd make up some other excuse.
Right? My toes bother me or... Ooh, my arm. Like Rodney Dangerfield. Oh, my arm.
And now, Christian, we come back from the break. Well, I thought it was monumental. Seth brought this up last night. I got a question for even Pelican fans out there. Alfred Payton is setting records. And I'm explaining that when we come back. Are a part of a record that is pretty unique when you look at the company that he's keeping. And also, not only from the franchise perspective, but from the NBA league as a whole. And I just throw out there, do you think Alfred Payton is that point guard that you want in the future? But
we'll talk about that next, what he's accomplished
lately. That's unbelievable.
It's a worthwhile conversation to be had. Also, coming back for Jimmy and Gretna and you two at 504-260-1870. LSU head football coach Ed Ogeron gets a 2-year extension. Right move or wrong move? You tell us. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Steve and Mark at Master Control back there behind a glass. It gets a little fun when they come in here on the other side and start mixing it up in between breaks. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Picture like a locker room. We bust each other's chops pretty good around here. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, LSU head football coach Ed Ogeron got a 2-year extension with a good pay increase. You like the move? Like the decision to give Ed Ogeron the extension? And Bobby, I think, nailed it. Ultimately, when it comes down to recruiting, you got to show stability at your university in your football program. Jimmy and Gretna, what's going on, Jimmy? You're on WWL.
Hey, man, great show. Comment and question, and congratulations to Bobby Hebert's son, assistant for UNO basketball. I know they're playing tonight at UNO Lakefront Arena in some postseason game. I'm a big fan of UNO, Bobby. And
right. I'm going to be there tonight. We got LSU baseball with Nicholls State, and they're playing TSU, Texas Southern. Old teammate of mine, Brett Maxey, that's where he went to school. And a lot of local flavor, Texas Southern, that's where Johnny Jones is coaching now. And they got a couple of LSU players that I actually transferred and playing.
Jalen Patterson, right. Bobby. The kid used to start for LSU.
Right.
He's scoring like 30 points a game a night for Texas Southern. So, yeah, if you want to meet Bobby Hebert, come support local Division I basketball. Come to Gentilly tonight. I'm going to be there too, Bobby.
I come to Lakefront Arena. Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
I got to tell you, Jimmy, I'm going home to watch LSU baseball. Just saying.
I don't totally blame you, Christian. Look, my question is this. Alvin Gentry, the Chris Webber-like timeout. I mean, is he going to survive after this mistake? The game Saturday.
No,
Christian, what you think?
No,
because look,
they're going to have it.
Not only that, but he allowed them, the Suns, to shoot a 3-pointer to put it into overtime when he should have followed the guy and put him on the line for two.
Well Jimmy,
so what's going on with that,
Jimmy? I had thought they were doing that on purpose. Not the tank to make it look obvious, but like, that's almost too obvious that you're not trying to win. But then they beat the Mavericks in overtime. So I was kind of saying, I don't know.
Alvin Gentry, they're going to have a complete house cleaning. That's just how I see it. And you remember the statement right around the AD saga where the ownership Gail Benson and the front office kind of came out and said, the players are playing hard for Alvin Gentry, et cetera, et cetera. That's almost a kiss of death. He's almost assuredly gone.
Well, Christian, we got Eileen on the phone coming up, and we can throw this question out because it is still NBA season. Do you want Alfred Payton to be the future point guard with the Pelicans? I know he's helping his stock. You talk about what have you done for me lately, and it seems like this is just occurring that – you have to be impressed because you look at his fraternity. That you look at Alfred, 19 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, and all of a sudden he's now joining the likes of Russell Westbrook, Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, and Michael Jordan as the only players in NBA history with at least 5 triple doubles in a row.
That's all Hall of Famers, our future Hall of Famers, right there.
What? I mean, come on. Some people love hate Westbrook, but when you're just talking about like even old school Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan. And then you throw in there, look at the Hornets, Pelicans, the organization. It was Alfred Payton's 6th triple-double the season, which tied Chris Paul back in 08 and 09 for the most triple-doubles in a season in franchise history. So I don't know. Let's hear what Eileen has to say, Christian, because I don't know. She might think Alfred Payton is the answer.
Eileen in Mandeville. What's going on, Eileen? Thanks for your phone call. You're on WWL.
Thank you for taking my call. My call is a little bit different with some information about Alfred. My mother, Jackie Forcade, taught at USL, later ULL, for much of her 57 years of teaching. And the last semester she taught English at ULL, she had Alfred as a student. Always spoke so highly of him. Assignments were always done early or on time. They were always done with a consistent level of very, very high achievement. And my mother was a very hard teacher. Many years ago, she also had the pleasure of teaching Bola Moore and Roy Ebron, Treetop Wilson, in the 77-76 basketball season when USL was doing so well. But she always spoke so high of Alfred. And that always struck a chord with my son, who so looked up to all of the athletes that were at USL, whether it was baseball or basketball. And you see that same work ethic with him on the court. I was so glad when he came in from the Magic to the Pelicans. I was just so thrilled that he was back in his home, well, not home state, but he was back in Louisiana.
Right.
And to see him doing so well.
Yeah, he seems to be doing well, Eileen. The only thing is, it just seemed like he has at times nagging injuries that tend to linger. You know, some fan base, they said, "Oh, well, you got to suck it up." But I think when you look like football, you got to play hurt. Basketball sometimes, if your finger or something is
it's
jacked
hard to do.
Up. Yeah, exactly. And but that's the only thing that I think. The combination going forward, Alfred Payton and Drew Holiday at a more of a shooting guard than a point guard, and you can figure out the rotation. But he's helping his market right now simply because of what he's done closing out the season with the Pelicans.
Eileen, thanks for the phone call. Justin in the parish down in Chalmette. What's going on, Justin? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, I couldn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. A lot of people have been talking about Mark Ingram and how it's all been, oh, he's leaving for money, his agent messed up. But I think a huge part of his decision on leaving that people fail to talk about is that he wasn't getting the ball nearly as much as he should have here. And he wanted to be the man, the premier guy. And I feel like he was looking for a team where the Ravens is the perfect fit for him. He's going to get it 20, 25 times a game.
Justin, I think you're onto something there.
Yeah,
I think you're onto something there. He did mention that he wants to be a feature back and run for 10,000 yards. And look, if you're sharing carries with Alvin Kamara, those chances of rushing for 10,000 yards goes down. But look, if I'm Mark Ingram, I'm going, man, I'm going to be facing 8-man fronts all the time with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. So his success is going to be hard to come by.
Well, and Justin, to be exact, if you look at last year and how Sean Payton was mixing it up as far as the touches. Ingram averaged 14 touches a game. Alvin Kamara averaged 17. So
it seemed like it was less than that.
Yeah, it's 14. This is not an opinion. This is actually what happened game in and game out since week 5. When they both in the rotation, Kamara had 17 average. Ingram had 14. So if you just add a half a dozen, all of a sudden Ingram's, like you said, getting 20. I don't know, 20 might be 25 in that range. Like you said, that's what he might be looking for. But I think the yards aren't going to come as easy because you think about this. If you're a running back with the Saints, who plays 8 in the box against the Saints? Nobody. What? The way the Saints can pass the ball. Now, the Ravens, they're going to have eight in the box until Lamar Jackson can prove they can beat you in the passing game. Now, what you can do, Lamar Jackson, you get him in space, you utilize play action. You'll be interested to see with the RPOs and how he's involved in that.
A lot of bootlegs.
But I don't necessarily think that Mark Ingram is going to have bigger holes with the Ravens than he did with the Saints.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrett coming back for Frank in Lakeview on Alex Bregman's huge contract. Good to see an LSU Tiger getting paid. Also, our CBS and local news headlines back with Vegas Runner, pro bettor and handicapper at the Big Moves. Best bets for the NCAA basketball tournament here on Sports Talk on WWL. Break out those tournament brackets. Maybe you can cash in some tickets as well. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Haven't talked to this guy since the football season. Happy to talk to him. Vegas Runner, pro bettor and handicapper at thebigmoves.com, at Greek_gambler. VR, how you doing, my man?
Never better, brother. Busy time, man. It's that March Madness everyone's been waiting for, finally here. So here we go, ready to go.
What's the average better drop on the NCAA men's basketball tournament?
I really don't know the exact figure, but, I mean, listen, it's, after the Super Bowl, it's the second biggest sporting event here in the States by far. Volume, betting handle. With that said, it's also spread out over a number of weeks, so I mean the money starts to accumulate and add up, but yeah, other than the Super Bowl, it doesn't get bigger than March Madness, because again, it's not just all the action that's being bet here and legally, all the office pools, I mean, just people just want action when it comes to March Madness, whether you're betting the entire college basketball season or not. Most people want to have something riding on this tournament.
Now, VR, I guess that they're proven differently. What about the Virginia Cavaliers? It seems like, boy, they hell during the regular season. And I was just looking at the metric top defenses and top offense. They were ranked right under Gonzaga as the number two offense. And overall, they were ranked fifth defensively. So when you look at 2-5, and I'm comparing them to Duke, UNC, and Gonzaga, that number two offense, number five defense. Could this be maybe Virginia's year, or you still don't trust them?
You know, I thought it was Virginia's year for the last couple seasons. I mean, they had a team a couple seasons that I remember putting them on my bracket, having them cutting down the nets, and they just never got it done. Here's the one thing I will tell you about Virginia. Granted, their metrics look great. They're up top at KenPom, which, you know, his analytics get a lot of respect, and he's got them number one. With that said, wise guys that bet, and again, there's a difference between statisticians, guys that analyze matchups, and guys that actually bet and move lines and make a profit betting sports. And according to those guys that bet money, they would make Duke or Gonzaga a favorite over Virginia. Both of those teams would be a favorite. In fact, North Carolina and Virginia would probably be a pick-em, maybe Virginia minus one. And if they made them even higher, I think you'd see sharp money come in on the Carolina side. And again, that's the only thing that gives me some pause, that their analytics look great, but I've seen that from them a lot in the past because of the style of play. They just do real good statistically. I mean, there's like some teams that win games and don't do well statistically. We saw that a couple years back in football with the Indianapolis Colts, where all the advanced metrics guys kept saying, oh, this is the worst team that ever made the playoffs, or this is statistically, they're a six-win football team, but they had 10-11 wins for a season. So some teams just find a way to get it done ugly. Other teams, you know, look great on the stat sheet and just can't win the big game. And I think that's the only fear with Virginia. It's another year where everything looks great, but until they're able to show me they could get over that hump, I'm not willing to bet them, especially on a future where the payoff just isn't really too high.
Now, VR, speaking of like value, who gives you the best bang for your buck, and what is considered like a dark horse? Is it like if you seeded six or lower, or what is when you see like a dark horse coming out of nowhere, and about the value also of all the teams?
That great question, and here's where you have to remember, if you're looking to cash a future bet, you got to look at a big sample size. And here's what we do know: no team worse than a number six seed has made it to the championship game. Okay, only two championship games have had a team worse than a six seed in 33 years. So you should really not look for a team worse than a six seed on your future bets. Granted, could it be the 1 in 33 that it happens? Maybe, but that they're not the kind of things you want to be backing with money. You want something a little more substance than that. So you want to look for someone that has a legitimate shot. And to me, the one team that really sticks out that's being so overlooked is Tennessee. This is a number two seed that during the regular season was number one for a little while there. Their only losses are to Kansas early in the season in overtime, Kentucky on the road, LSU in overtime on the road, and then Auburn by 4 on the road, okay? And then they got revenge against Kentucky in the SEC tournament. This is a team that was ranked number one in offensive efficiency in the SEC, number two in defensive efficiency in the SEC. It's a pretty good conference to rank 1 and 2 in. And then you add to the mix that they are number three in the metric of its minutes of continuity, meaning how long have these players played together? Has it been weeks, months, seasons? This team's number three in the nation. These guys have been playing together for a while. And then you couple that with a ton of experience, a lot of upperclassmen, and a tall team, 40th in height. You want some size. And finally, they average, 82 points a game, and only 25% of that comes from beyond the three-point line.
But they don't
even have to be hot every night to beat you.
But then,
so for me, I think 15-1, two-seed Tennessee jumped out at me.
You know, VR, with that being said, though, in these parts, they look maybe the revenge factor they thought would come into play when the Auburn Tigers waxed them in the SEC championship on a neutral site.
Auburn's another, but they're a five. The problem is that five seed, man. It's hard to go that far when you're seeded down low. I mean, the road just gets so difficult. Where if you look at the road for these 1 and 2 seeds, especially if there's an upset, which always is, in those 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 range, you get these 1 and 2 seeds end up having to play a 13 or a 14, to get to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eights, playing someone real low. So they just have such an easier road compared to anyone below a 4 seed. And I think that's why, like I said, over 33 years, we've only seen 2 times worse than a 6 seed even get to that position, let alone cut down the nets. So I think, again, we always look for Cinderella. It's a great story when she makes it there. But more times than not, the clock strikes 12 before she gets a chance to cut down the net. So unless you could get good return and hedge that, but unfortunately, what you got to remember, if you have a nice big underdog that's 20-1, 30-1, and they make it to the championship game, they're going to be a big underdog in that championship game. So it's very hard to hedge when you're getting 8, 9, 10 points, because now that favorite is a -300 favorite. So to hedge that, you have to have a big bankroll. And that's the problem with these big long shots. They rarely get there, but when they do, it also rarely leaves you an ability to hedge because, again, they're such an underdog in that final game that it's hard then to take the favorite on the money line and lock in a profit.
Vegas runner of thebigmoves.com, pro bettor and handicapper at @Greek_gambler on Twitter. VR, a lot of the bracketology experts are picking Yale to upset LSU in the first round. How do you feel about that? If you're putting money on that,
I'm not seeing it. I like LSU to advance. Now again, the point spread is another story altogether. In the land of laying 11 to win 10, the point spread becomes the great equalizer. Will they cover the spread? That's another story. And I can understand while I'm seeing some love for Yale, because they usually are an undervalued team, and LSU has that name recognition, so you would think the line would be shaded in their favor. So I could understand why there's some love for that Yale team. But again, as far as covering and winning the games are two totally different things, and I think think LSU has more than enough to get it done. I like the over a lot. I don't think you're going to see that 157 there long. If you agree with me, I highly recommend you don't wait on that. I think it's only going to move in one direction, and that's up. I think these two get into the mid-160s, if not high-160s. I was surprised the total came out under 160 when it did. Like I said, I bet over 157 immediately, and I'm probably going to bet it a couple more times if they don't adjust it. I think you're going to see points there, and I think LSU will get it done. Point spread, I wouldn't lay it with them, but I wasn't one of the guys that took the points with Yale like I know a lot of sharp bettors did.
VR, we got to take a break. I got one more, so does Bobby. Can you sit with us for about 3 minutes?
Sure, no problem. No problem.
We'll continue with Vegas Runner here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, hanging out with Vegas Runner, pro bettor, and handicapper at thebigmoves.com, at Greek_gambler, breaking down the NCAA men's basketball tournament, best bets. And VR, is there a team that nobody's really talking about that you feel like, hey, I'd be willing to place a bet on them getting into the Sweet 16 or Elite 8?
Texas Tech is a team that jumped out, that's no one's talking about, and that's a number 3 seed that's getting no respect. I think they could make a little run. And I think you'll get value on a team like that throughout because, again, like I said, they're a team that is being very much overlooked. And I only have about 7-8 teams that I would put favored over Texas Tech on a neutral court. Those are the kind of teams that I'm looking for. You know, that point spread wise, I think they could hang around and be within 4 or 5 points of even the best teams in the country. And another team that is right there, I mean, they're up there because they're ranked high, but no one's talking about, what's it called, Michigan State. Another team that, again, it's a 2 seed, not going to surprise anyone, and they won their tournament. But seeing at the sports books, they're not getting much love at all. Especially in the futures market. But to me, that really stuck out is the Texas Tech and the Virginia Tech, the 3 and the 4, those two techs getting no respect at all. And again, power rating-wise, not bad at all, especially, again, like I said, Texas Tech. I only got about 7 teams favored over them, and even Virginia Tech, I got them in the top 20. They could make a Sweet 16 run for sure.
Now, VR, you mentioned Texas Tech, and I actually have them getting to the Elite 8, but losing to Gonzaga to go to the Final Four. But with that being said, and you look at individual stars, what are like the prop bets on who could be that MVP and become a household name? Like Zion Williamson out of Duke is a household name. And I'm looking at this All-American shooting guard, Texas Tech, Jared Culver. Is he one of those guys? What would be, like, the odds on those prop bets? And then you look, obviously, from Marquette, Marcus Howard, and then really a dark horse, Murray State, NBA player, my understanding, at the high level, maybe lottery pick, Jai Morant. Just talk about, like, what are the odds on those type of individuals and really becoming household names?
Again, it's how far are they going to make a run? That's what it's going to come down to. The way you become a household name is – you make a run in front of a national audience and no bigger audience than coming at March Madness. As far as prop bets, the ones that get the most attention are who has, like, more tourney wins, Duke or Virginia, and they'll have a matchup. Who wins more, Virginia against a number one seed. Those prop bets, along with whether to make the Sweet 16, yes or no, those attract the most betting action. Now, as far as, tournament MVP, you don't bet Zion, even if he wins it.
Right.
That's where you stay away from. Those names you touched on, that's where I would be looking. But with that said, you want to also make it a team that has a shot of going far because you're not going to, even if you put up 50 in the first game and you get knocked out, you ain't winning anything. You know, you can put up 100
right.
in the first game and get knocked out, and you're not getting anything. So you want it to be come from a team that at least has a shot to get to the Final Four because you want to get into that final weekend. That's where everyone will be talking about. You remember, you got a whole week from the Elite Eight to that Final Four. And there's only four teams that everyone's going to be dissecting. So if you could make it into one of those four teams, I think that's where you want to look as far as MVP of the tournament goes. And the good thing with that is I don't think you even have to win the national championship. You just got to get in that four. So I think you want to look towards a team like that, a Texas Tech, a player on a team that has a legitimate shot. Again, a star on a team that isn't going anywhere, even though he's that the star of the team. If they don't get past the Sweet 16, you're not winning no tournament MVP.
Vegas Runner, TheBigMoves.com. Check him out there. Pro bettor and handicapper, one of the best in the business, if not the best. Nearly 70% when it comes to football. How's your basketball? How'd you do last year, real quick?
You know, I had a good March Madness. It's profitable for me year after year. This year, conference tournaments, I lost money. I tell it like it is. I tell you when I win, tell you when I lose. And this conference tournaments, I was so excited, looking forward to it, because usually I build such a lead in the conference tournaments that the big dance, we turn a little bit of profit. They haven't been great. But this year, it's looked like the opposite. Conference tournaments did not go that well, and now I'm excited about the big dance, because there's been a while back that we haven't won in the conference tournament, and I remember having a huge big dance when that happened. So I'm hoping that trend continues for us, and it's a good couple weeks ahead. But again, the conference tournaments were difficult for me this season.
Nobody better. VR, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. VR. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Coming up next hour, Nick Easton, Saints center and guard. By the way, there's a report out there that his contract was disapproved by the NFL. Nothing to worry about. It's a language deal. They'll fix it. It'll be a done deal. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.